It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body, my friends. We were made for this moment. Thank you to the team. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Nicole, Zach, Echo, Charlie, Pamela, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Friday, producer Joe.
Happy Friday, Kim.
And did you miss me?
Absolutely.
I was on quite the adventure. I actually had been out in California last weekend and needed to help somebody with something, and then flew across the United States on Monday. Took a little longer than necessary because of winds in Denver, and then spent Tuesday and Wednesday back yesterday from Washington, D.C., accompanied Greg and Lisa Lopez to meetings on Capitol Hill and around. And so it was quite an experience. Nine different meetings with a variety of different people. And as you all know, Greg was selected to be the Republican candidate for this special election to complete the term of Ken Buck. That election is June 25th. The ballots will go out the first part of June. And we're going to keep you informed on a whole bunch of different things that are going on with that particular election. But it is very important that Greg be elected to complete the term of Ken Buck. He is not running to become the new congressman. He is there for the next 6 to 7 months. And so anyway, I'm back. But everything happened so quickly that we did rebroadcast of shows on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. In studio with me is my friend, I can't believe he's here, and that is Rick Turnquist. It is a Rick Turnquist Friday, and you're here instead of in Oklahoma.
I'm so delighted to be here behind enemy lines and in studio with you, Kim. I was thinking back to several years ago, sitting outside listening to a certain piece of music, and this morning I kind of recreated that moment, and so delighted to be here to be in studio with you.
Well, you've written a great piece. It is so well done. Fossil fuels aren't going away in honor of Earth Day. Now, Earth Day is what day?
Earth Day is the 22nd. So let's see. So Monday?
Monday. Okay.
2021, 22, yeah.
So very timely. It is at my website and a lot of important research. And I've been thinking about, you know, this whole narrative. These people that want to have us not use fossil fuels, they're really anti-human flourishing.
That's exactly right. They're anti-human flourishing, or as I like to say, they're anti-life. And it's really amazing just to think about. The other day, our power went out, and just for a short period of time, but it really brings home to you when something like that happens that how dependent we are on electricity, and how strange it is when we don't have it available to us to use. And we take it for granted, but it's only a relatively new phenomenon. And human beings have lived on this planet for thousands of years, lives that were nasty, brutish, and short, to quote a philosopher. And we have so much benefits from fossil fuels, and we take everything for granted, but some people want to tear it all down, and it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, tearing it down if you're anti-human flourishing.
Absolutely.
So we'll really focus on this in the third and fourth segments. I wanted to get into some of the things that we do on a regular basis. It is great to be back with all of you. Thank you to the National Shooting Sports Foundation for their gold sponsorship of the show. And in the second hour, we will talk with Nephi Cole, who is their government relations state affairs director. And what we see here, Rick, I don't know, when you crossed the border, and did you fly or drive?
I flew.
Okay. So when you touched down in DIA, did you feel this oppression at all.
I didn't feel it till I was in the shuttle to go to the rental car place.
Yeah, okay.
And it was, I'm a car out native, and I've spent most of my life here. And it really hurt me to move away. But at the same time, at the time, 3 years ago, I was glad I was had an opportunity to move away, because I was going to go whatever happened.
Yeah.
'Cause Colorado's, thanks to freedom fighters like you, maybe it's not completely gone, but I was not willing to live under Democrat tyranny anymore.
Oh, it is. And it is.
It's
tyranny.
Just gotten worse, Kim. It's just I follow Colorado politics very closely still, because, and people say, well, why do you want to stay involved in Colorado politics? And I say, because what's happening here, it's like a cancer. You got to fight the cancer when it starts in the body before it spreads everywhere and kills you. And their ideas are like a cancer on our modern human existence, which we read my essay, The Pillars of Modern Life. It's on your website, Kim. We are at the pinnacle of human existence on this planet. And for reasons I completely don't understand, there's a large group of people, they call themselves progressives, who hate it and they want to tear it all down. There's three pillars of modern life: free market capitalism, limited government, and fossil fuels. And the left hates all three, and they're doing the best they can to tear it all down.
And Colorado is at the tip of the spear. And they are flooding the zone. As president of the Colorado Union of Taxpayers, as of today, there's been 740 bills that have been introduced, 740 new potential laws. And they're flooding the zone on firearms, the right for everyday people to keep and bear firearms, land use, transgender agenda, getting rid of oil and gas, transportation, all of those things.
Yeah, it's amazing. I actually listened to the hearings until I went home for the assault weapons ban when it was first in committee. And I don't know what his name was, but a Marine came up to and spoke, and he says, "We will not comply." And kudos to that guy, because they're trying to take away. It's firearms are a tool. And they're a tool that we use to defend our lives and our property. And we have an inalienable right to self-defense, because we have an inalienable right to life. And the left wants to take that away. And it just, the cognitive dissonance of the two prime sponsors of the bill, Hernandez and Epps, just, it blows my mind. Elizabeth Epps wants to do away with police and the justice system, but at the same time she wants only police to have guns, and it just doesn't make any sense. And at the same time, thanks to their policies, crime here in Colorado, and especially in Denver, is increasing by leaps and bounds, and maybe the murder rate's coming down, but other types of crimes that keep going up. My friend Mr. T2 on Twitter kind of is the he's a great resource for what's happening with regard to crime in Denver and in Colorado. And it just is, it's not a pretty picture, and it doesn't have to be this way. It really doesn't. And it breaks my heart to see what's happening to my native state.
Well, and the headlines that I was watching when I was in Washington, D.C. was that Mike Johnston, the mayor of Denver, is, I guess it's across the board, he's cutting spending. Isn't it interesting that you can cut spending? Interesting, but he's going to cut spending in fire and police.
Yeah, so the legitimate basic functions of government are law enforcement and I would argue, fire protection. So the two legitimate functions of government is what he wants to cut in order to coddle these criminals who have come into our city from elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's just another example of how exactly wrong they are in their thinking on everything. It's like these people, yeah, they may want to come here for a better life and whatnot, but then they have to do it through legal channels. They have to do it legally, like my ancestors did when they came over from England and Sweden back in the early 20th century.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So now, then also making our communities more dangerous, and then having legislation to take away our rights to protect ourselves and our families and our property.
Well, it's an interesting thing to think about, because the Second Amendment doesn't grant a right. It protects a right. And our right to self-defense and to keep and bear arms is it can't be taken away by legislation. And so they may think they're going to ban assault weapons, but nobody in this state is going to comply with that law. Law enforcement, for the most part, won't enforce it. A lot of people are going to leave. I know several people who've moved away from Colorado in the last few years and in the time before I moved away. And I think more people are going to continue to move away because they just don't want to live under this government here. And it amazes me that they continue to win elections and that people actually vote for them because they're just so far. I mean, Hernandez was appointed, and that's another thing in Colorado. You've got to do away with vacancy committees. There should be some citizens that get together and put something on the ballot to have special elections when there's vacancy, mm-hmm. instead of party insiders filling with the most radical people possible through vacancy elections.
Well, and I have we have in Colorado what I call legalized election manipulation. And that is, first of all of these ballots that are flying out all over the state, not cleaning up the voter rolls, and we can't audit our elections. So I don't believe that the people of Colorado are voting for this.
Well, I don't disagree with you on election integrity, Kim, but there are still people that vote for them. You can't say that every vote is fraudulent. And so it blows me away that there are people that vote for this.
True. I just don't think it's a majority of people.
Well, you know, I believe that elections should be overseen. They should be audited. I believe the Secretary of State should be a nonpartisan position. I don't trust the current Secretary of State at all. She's clearly a partisan hack who is definitely to the extreme left.
And the other thing, though, is they've taken away the power of the county clerks. And just like in America, instead of centralizing power, I think that needs to be decentralized so that each of these county clerks are responsible for the elections in their communities, in our communities, and that the people of each community can then hold them accountable. So we need to move towards that again.
That's exactly right. And they want to, like with HR1 or HB1 they introduced in the Democrat controlled Congress several years ago, that would have federalized elections. So instead of at the local level, like you just mentioned with county clerks, they want to have it all run nationally. And that's just another aspect of the left that fascinates me, is they want more and more power at higher and higher levels. And some people on the left want to do away with nations altogether and just have a global government. And it just doesn't work. There's no way, you know, in what every state is different. And you know, in Oklahoma, I understand, you know, there's different things that people worry about there and different things they worry about in South Carolina and different things they worry about in Texas. And yeah, we're all Americans, but at the same time, we're all in different states, mm-hmm. and we all choose to live where we do for the most part. And, you know, I know lots of people are leaving. And actually, what a great thought experiment. If this election was between Gavin Newsom and Ron DeSantis, you know, what a contrast of two states and two mm-hmm. governing styles, right? People are fleeing California in droves. They can't get out fast enough. And where are they going? They're going to Florida because Florida's booming. They protect your rights. They protect children. Everything they do is geared towards the proper role of government. Well, not everything, but a lot of what they do.
Right.
They have the right philosophical base. And Newsom is the embodiment of the craziness of the left. And it's clear that people are fleeing blue states and going to red states. And it's too windy in Oklahoma, so don't move there. But
that is true. And I was just out in California, and what a beautiful state. And they are running that into the ground. Colorado, what a beautiful state, and running that into the ground as well. We have these important discussions because of our great sponsors. Did want to mention Hooters Restaurants. As we look at, I call them PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, and how they want to exert more and more power. And they are anti, as you mentioned, free market capitalism. And so the story of how I got to know Hooters is really a story about free market capitalism. It was when I was on city council. You can find that story at my website. But Hooters Restaurants has 5 locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. Great place to get together with friends, to watch sporting events, and they have great specials for lunch Monday through Friday. You can find all that at my website. And another great sponsor of the show is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance insurance team. And Roger and his team, they know that life can be challenging, and it's their mission to maximize your financial security as you manage the risks of everyday life. So call Roger Mangan at 303-795-8855 for more information. Like a good neighbor, Roger Mangan's team is there.
Rosie's doing it. So is Yvonne. Same with Lori. Michelle's been at it since February of last year. Jody started the year before that. And guess what? They're all saving by doing so. What's that? Oh, the doing part? They're using the Drive Safe and Save app from State Farm. Then they're saving up to 30% and more on their auto insurance. How about you? Are you ready to get at it and save? Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855. Don't delay. Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855 today.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
It's Friday.
Indeed, it is Friday. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You'll get first look at our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent essays that goes out on Sundays. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Text line is 720-605-0647. And Rick Turnquest is in studio. We'll be talking about his essay here shortly. Fossil fuels aren't going away, in honor of Earth Day. On the line with us is Mark Meckler. He is a co-founder of the Convention of States. Mark Meckler, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Good to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you as well. And you're going to be coming out to Colorado here soon, yes?
Yeah, one of my favorite places to be, so I'm going to be in Denver. I'll be there on the 25th on the west steps of the Capitol. That's 425 at 11 a.m. local time there. We're going to be doing a rally for Convention of States, the idea that the states need to fight through their legislatures to rein in the federal government. Freedom is what we're talking about.
Well, thank you. Tell us about Convention of States, what that is exactly.
Sure. Article 5 of the Constitution contains two ways in which we can amend the Constitution. The first is what Congress has always done. We have 27 amendments. When two-thirds of Congress wants to propose an amendment, they vote on that, and they send that out for ratification to the states. Of course, they never limit federal government power when they do that. We all know the federal government's become too big and too powerful, too much centralized in D.C. So if we want to take power away from Washington, D.C. constitutionally, which they've taken from us inappropriately, the way to do it is use the second clause. That gives us the power as states, when two-thirds of states vote to do so, to convene in convention and to propose amendments to restrict the power of the federal government.
And what are those amendments, Mark Meckler, that are being kicked around?
Well, there are three subject matter areas. Anything that would impose financial or fiscal restraints on the federal government, like a balanced budget amendment or tax caps and spending caps. Anything that would impose term limits, not just on Congress, which is what we usually think about, but on bureaucrats and staffers. I call that one the Fauci Amendment. We never want to see another Anthony Fauci in government who's been there his entire life. And then third is anything that would take the scope and power of the federal government and limit it, for example, telling them that they can't be involved in energy or education or healthcare, things that were always intended for the states but have been usurped by the federal government. And I would say one that's really specific and important right now, maybe two of them, the left has long talked about packing the Supreme Court, putting more than nine justices on it. You could limit the justices on the Supreme Court to nine. Another is giving the states absolute power to enforce their borders. We're seeing this invasion from our southern border. By the way, it's going on in the north as well. We should give the border states the specific constitutional power to enforce immigration and border law.
Okay. And hey, going back to term limits, I really appreciate you talking about term limits for bureaucrats, because I've been very I've always thought, ideally, the founders thought term limits should be at the ballot box for electeds, but very concerned about these bureaucrats that live off of they live handsomely off of the taxpayer with huge pensions, and they have enormous power. And I've been concerned about term limits on electeds if there's not something done about bureaucrats. So I'm glad that you are adding that in there. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. Term limits, I don't think, are a good idea if we just do it on the elected officials. All you do is empower the lobbyists and the bureaucrats and the staffers if you do that. But if you do both, you can create a churn in Washington, D.C. that will make Washington, D.C. better represent the people.
Okay, so where? So tell us, when did you start the Convention of States movement?
So just over 10 years ago in 2013, and for me, it came out of the Tea Party movement. I was one of the co-founders of Tea Party Patriots, the largest Tea Party organization in the nation. In 2010, we see the biggest change in parties in Congress since 1938. I was there at the middle of that. I was literally there in Washington, D.C. on election night in 2010. And then what we saw is nothing. Nothing changed. And I was really blown away. This huge election wave, and everything stayed the same. The spending stayed the same. The disconnect stayed the same. The corruption stayed the same. And I thought, you know, we're going to fix Washington, D.C. It's obviously not just elections. They're important, but that's not enough. And we started looking at all the structural problems that we had created in our government, especially over the last, say, 115 years. And I realized the only way to fix that is to fix the structure of government that we've broken. And the only way to do that is through constitutional amendments.
Okay, so you started this in 2013, and you need how many of the states?
34 states to call a convention. It says in the Constitution 2/3 of states.
Okay.
And today there are 19 that have passed the resolution. Hopefully shortly it'll be 20. North Carolina has passed in their House. We're just waiting for the Senate right now.
Okay, and you need 2/3. Okay, so Colorado, where are we at in Colorado?
Colorado, we are going to be in a committee hearing on Monday, and so this is a third year in a row we've had a committee hearing. You know, I have to be honest, usually it goes down in flames by a party line vote. You talked about what's happened in Colorado. I have to say, having been to Colorado a lot and spent a lot of time in Colorado, I don't think it's a lost blue state. So right now, I look at California kind of as a lost state. I think Colorado still has some common sense. So we've been seeing more Democrats come around. We passed it in Massachusetts out of two committees. We passed it in Hawaii out of a committee with bipartisan support. So I'm hoping we see a Colorado miracle on Monday.
I think it would be a miracle right now, Mark. I don't want to rain on your parade, but I...
No, you're not raining. I have to have hope when I go in, but we've been killed in this committee twice before. It's one of the kill committees in the Colorado legislature. But our grassroots have been growing, and right now we have the strongest leadership team I think that we've ever had there. Our petitions, our supporters are up 37% right now there over the last 3 years. That's big growth, and we're working hard on educating folks through events and building relationships with legislators. This is how you get it done. This is a slow and steady process. That's what the framers intended. They didn't want it to be fast and radical. So we're just doing the hard work of politics there in Colorado.
You know, Mark Meckler, I do these quotes beginning of the show, end of the show, and I chose a quote from Jimmy Doolittle because the Doolittle raids were April 18, 1942, which that was a, you know, it was a really big deal that we were able to actually World War II bomb Japanese territory. It was a real, you know, shot in the arm for the Americans, and it was a real morale buster for Japan. And Jimmy Doolittle said this, and I thought this was a great quote. He said, "If we should have to fight, we should be prepared to do so from the neck up instead of from the neck down." And, you know, the battle of ideas is where it really is. And that's, I think that's one of the things that you're engaging here with the Convention of States.
Yeah, I think that's really smart. I mean, I think he's also saying fight smart, not just fight hard. And I do agree we have to engage in the battlefield of ideas. Yesterday I was out at UC Berkeley speaking at UC Berkeley. People think that's crazy and a lost cause. I spoke to a huge political science class, probably 700 kids, and the response was fantastic. It was not what people would think. There were no protests. We had a lot of great discussion after class. People came up to me, appreciated it. So I think we go anywhere and everywhere because our ideas as conservatives are just the truth. They're the facts. They're reality. Ultimately, I believe if you speak the truth long enough, it will prevail.
I totally agree. And actually, George Washington said something to that effect as well. So, okay, April 25th, 11 a.m., west side of the Capitol. You will be there. And what else should people know? How can people help you?
Yeah, so come out and meet me, have some conversation. We'll have a bunch of our activists and volunteers out there, so it's a chance for you to get involved. We do all kinds of other things in politics, elections, election integrity. We do pro-life stuff, Second Amendment stuff. So if you want to be involved in politics, this is the organization. Go to conventionofstates.com, click on the petition, sign the petition, and then click on the Take Action tab. That'll let you volunteer and get involved with us.
Okay, and signing that petition, is that petition for the Article 5 then convention, yes?
That's correct. So then that goes to your state rep, your state senator. They'll know that you're in support. That's the first step towards building the support in the legislature.
Okay, great. Anything else that you want people to know, Mark Meckler?
Yeah, I think the main thing is to, one, thank you for what you do, because being on the air and speaking truth on the air, that's really important. It's not easy, and we need more and more people like you. But I would say people need to do what you're doing, not get on the air, but actually be out there speaking the truth, be involved, be engaged. We don't win this fight just by listening. We win the fight by being engaged in the fight.
Absolutely. So, Mark Meckler, thank you so much for what you're doing. And that's conventionofstates.com. Again, that's correct, right?
Yep, that's perfect.
Okay, conventionofstates.com for more information. Sign the petition. Mark Meckler, thank you so much. I'm very excited you'll be in Colorado.
Thanks, Kim. I appreciate it.
And we have these important discussions because of our sponsors. One of those is Karen Levine.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
Bosun Law fights for clients who've been injured or family members who have lost a loved one due to the careless, reckless, or wrongful conduct of others. Whether injured in a car accident, suffered an injury due to a product or bad pharmaceutical drug, or need help fighting for medical care and benefits following an accident at work, don't go it alone and uninformed. Bosun Law is the law firm you need in your corner. Time is of the essence with any personal injury claim. Call 303-999-9999 to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 303-999-9999. Call now.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Munson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
It is Friday. Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON. com. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Text line is 720-605-0647. Very quickly wanted to run through our word of the day is calumny. And that is a false statement maliciously made to injure another's reputation. The utterance of maliciously false statements, slander, or false accusation of a crime, misconduct, or defect knowingly or maliciously made or reported to the injury of another. I kind of have to think about a lot of these, I guess it would be calumnies, calumny.
Calumny.
Calumny. Okay. And I was doing some devotions, and I saw the word, and I thought, have you ever heard the word before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I hadn't. And so I'm thinking about all these accusations against Trump. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. There's lots of calumny going around these days.
Okay, next thing I wanted to get, quote of the day, and I'll give the whole citation for Ernest E. West, United States Army Medal of Honor. I do these on Friday. He was born in 1931, died in 2021, and this is from the Center for American Values Medal of Honor quote book. And he said this, he said, "One visit to a country without freedom makes one realize that freedom is a precious gift worth fighting for." Love that. And then we got to get to the bill of the day because one of the co-sponsors is one of your favorite legislators.
No. Which one?
Faith Winter.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yes. Bill of the day, House Bill 24-1447. Prime sponsors, Representative Lindstedt, Representative Froelich, Senator Faith Winter, transit reform.
Oh, boy. What are they going to reform this time?
Yeah. Considering transit reform and in connection therewith modifying the duties and composition of the Board of Directors of the Regional Transportation District, RTD, requiring the Department of Transportation to implement a bus driver training program, requiring transit providers to coordinate with metropolitan planning organizations, be Dr. Cog, and other things like that, on certain matters, and modifying the allowable use of money transferred to the Department of Transportation in connection with the redevelopment of the Burnham Yard rail property.
Well, when it comes to transportation, the last person anybody should listen to is Faith Winter. And before we say anything else, I just want to, I know that she recently, it came out that she's having some struggles with alcohol and problems there. And I just want to say that I wish her healing and recovery. I know I've known people who have struggled with alcohol, and it's a very serious thing. So I definitely, wish her the best in terms of her recovery. With that said, I still think that every idea that comes out of her head is a terrible idea, and this is just another one. I remember a tweet storm several years ago where she was talking about getting everybody out of their cars and into public transportation. And yet she and other legislators like her drive their cars to the Capitol every day. So I don't understand how they can think that everybody else should be riding trains while they get to drive their cars to wherever they need to go. But the left, and this is part of our overall conversation about fossil fuels, but they want us out of our cars and in public transportation or walking or riding. And I had a little interchange with the Aurora Sentinel editor Dave Perry while back about he wants everybody to ride their bikes every day. And I was like, okay, well, why don't you ride your bike to work in a blizzard when it's 40 mile an hour winds and visibility zero and it's freezing cold outside. Yeah, you ride your bike 20 miles to go to work, Dave, and see how that works for you.
What was his response?
Oh, he said, well, I'm a Coloradan, and I've done this and that and blah. And so then when we had that big storm a while back in March, I tweeted to him. I said, how was your ride to work, Dave? And he tweeted something back. He was, good sport about it. But okay. It was still, I was trying to make my point. But they don't want people to be in their own private cars because they hate cars, especially because most of them run on gasoline. But EVs aren't any better for the environment. In fact, some ways they're worse. So whatever that bill is, it's terrible and it should be voted down and it'll probably pass because this is Colorado. But
well, and what it does is it's taking away the RTD board is elected. So it's taking that away and putting it to an appointed. And so the Colorado Union of Taxpayers want to say thank you to this group. They're all volunteers. Steve Dorman, Greg Golansky, Russ Haas, Bill Hamill, Carl Honegger, Rob Knuth, John Nelson, Joseph O'Loughlin, Wendy Warner, Marty Nielsen, Ramey Johnson, and Mary Jansen. Join us. You can go to coloradotaxpayer.org. It's only $25. And we did have a little choke point. We're getting that worked out. But once you do that, you will receive our weekly email. But this is what Cut said. We said, this 41-page bill removes governing from the voters and puts way too much power with Dr. Cog. That's the Denver Regional Council of Governments, which is a huge bureaucracy that is not elected nor accountable to the people of Colorado. Coloradans value our safe private vehicles over dirty, dangerous trains. There is no fiscal note yet. Use of the safety clause is designed to further strip voters of a say in this boondoggle. Pretty well hits it, huh?
Yeah. Well, I used to ride the train, the light rail to downtown when I worked downtown for several years. And It was funny. I'd ride the train until I got sick of it, and then I'd drive, and then until I got sick of driving, and then I'd ride the train again. But there were the trains I rode were mostly professional people who were going downtown to work, so it wasn't too bad. But I can recall some incidents on the trains where I was hopeful that a transit officer was nearby, because there are some dodgy people, and I wouldn't probably want to ride the light rail now. And now they're tearing up downtown to relay the tracks. It wouldn't be a realistic alternative for me. But so they want everybody on public transportation. Yeah, public transportation is something nobody wants to take, except for very few. Mm-hmm. And it's a money boondoggle. It's a money pit. Basically, they throw all this money at it and don't get the results that they want. They want to make ridership free to all the low income people, or to everybody, I guess. But then who's going to pay for it? It doesn't make sense. Just like most of their agenda.
Well, and for somebody that wants to move up the economic ladder, having their own private vehicle so that they have all kinds of employment choices is really much better for them. And I would say all these, Faith Winter and Representative Lindstedt and Representative Froelich, I would suggest all of you that are pushing for this, let's start with you. But they don't want to start with us.
I think they should all ride public transportation to the Capitol every day. And they have to do it for the length of the session, which is 60 days too long. They should cut the Colorado legislative session to 60 days every other year.
They should. The other thing is, though, is we are looking at the end of session, which will be, I think, like the second weekend of May. We're like, oh. But what they have done then is, even though they're out of session, they've put in place bureaucrats, bureaucracies that will continue the stripping of opportunity, thriving for everyday people. Let's get over here to your piece. Fossil fuels aren't going away in honor of Earth Day. This is a very well-written, very important piece. So where do you want to start, Rick Turnquist?
Well, I want to start by reiterating that fossil fuels are truly one of the pillars of our modern life. And the other two pillars, as I mentioned earlier, are limited government and free market capitalism. Without those three things, the life that we enjoy now wouldn't exist. And fossil fuels are arguably the most important aspect of this. And so when I sat down to write this a couple weekends ago, knowing that I was going to be here today, I started off with my favorite, and it really is my favorite U.S. government website. It's called EIA.gov. And anything you want to know about energy is on that website. And while it's a website of the U.S. government, which is currently controlled by Democrats, I still think that EIA is a trustworthy website. And even though they try to paint so-called renewable energy, and you can't see my air quotes unless you're in studio, even though they try to paint it as viable and something good, the statistics don't lie. And when it comes to renewable energy, it's a very, very small part of our overall energy picture. So the first graphic in this piece that I put in here is our U.S. energy consumption by source and sector in 2022. And basically, as you can see from this graphic, only 8% overall of our energy sources are so-called renewable energy. 8%, Kim. Only 8%, and they want to have it be 100% by
and all the subsidies
2030, 2050, whatever the year is.
And all the money that's been spent
on that's it. In spite of all the subsidies they've put in place mm-hmm. for that stuff. And then on the right-hand side of this graph, you can see the sectors of our economy that use all these different types of energy. And the largest one is transportation. And that's virtually all powered by fossil fuels and coal. There's just the alternatives they talk about in terms of transportation, it's EVs. And there's a lot of problems with EVs, as we've talked about on the show before and as I've talked about. They're more expensive. They don't have the range of a gas-powered car. You've got to find a charging station, which is difficult. In Oklahoma City, I know of two, And every time I drive by either one, they're empty. I've never seen anyone charging at a charging station where I live. But there's gas stations everywhere, so it's easy to fill up your car when you need to.
Just zoom in.
Yeah,
you fill it up.
Takes
you're
a
out.
Few minutes and you're gone. And charging your car can take longer. My wife and I went on a road trip down to Medicine Park, which is a lovely little town in west Oklahoma. And as we were driving, we stopped at a gas station, and there was a person that had an extension cord plugged into an outlet charging their EV.
Oh, my gosh.
And she'd been there for a long time, and she was going to be there for a long time more. And we filled up the car in a few minutes, and we're on our way. So we were just laughing and thinking about how unfortunate that is. And last time I came here, I considered renting an EV just to see what it was like, and I decided, no.
Not going to do that. That's good. A regular extension cord?
Yeah, regular, orange 3-prong extension cord, and I'm sure that's not the optimum charging method.
No, I don't think.
But it just be she couldn't find a charging place. So what'd she do? She went to a gas station. It's just like, it's kind of a metaphor for how the electrical grid works. When wind and power don't work, then you have to have a natural gas or coal generation to back that up. Mm-hmm. So that's one reason that electricity gets more expensive, because you have these other unreliable, more expensive power sources in the mix. Mm-hmm. If it was strictly just, coal, natural gas, nuclear, electricity would be way cheaper across the board, and the grid would be more reliable.
Right.
But anyway, so this graphic I love, because it really shows the sources and uses. The next graph in here shows what all that energy is used for: motor, gasoline, jet fuel, diesel, and so forth. And diesel actually powers our economy, because goods move through the country and through the world via diesel fuel, whether that's tractor trailers or ships or whatever. Trains. Regular trains. Mm-hmm. Light rail trains, so beloved of the left, run on electricity, mm-hmm. which is mostly generated by coal and natural gas. But
you mean those pretty empty light rail trains?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's so funny. We have a streetcar in downtown Oklahoma, and every time I've seen it, it has like two or three people on it. I'm like, and in the last mayoral election, one of the candidates said, "I'm going to do away with the downtown streetcar." And I liked him, so I voted for him, and he didn't win. But I think it's a silly thing. But the next thing is the left is they want to do away with gasoline-powered cars and have everybody do EVs. And I did research on that several years ago when I was writing another mm-hmm. piece. And even an entry-level model Tesla is pretty expensive, and when you go up to a nicer model, it's even more expensive. And I think I did the numbers, and $800 a month car payment for a Tesla. I can't afford that, and probably there are people that can, and I see them driving their Teslas around. But
they got an income tax credit.
Yeah,
too.
Well, you get tax credits, but that's not a proper function of government.
No.
That's not something that should exist.
No.
You shouldn't get subsidies to buy something or incentives like that. It's
right.
just completely beyond the pale. So the next biggest use of fossil fuels in our economy, in our world, is industrial. And most of that's used for heat for industrial processes, space heating, boiler fuel for generating electricity, and feedstocks. And this is something that people really don't think about very much. But oil and natural gas, crude oil, petroleum, and natural gas are components of just about everything we use in mm-hmm. our modern world. Our clothes, our iPhones, our computers, our tires, our everything. There's a chart I saw once that had a list of all the things that come from fossil fuels, and there's so many, and things you wouldn't even think of. But I guarantee you, all these fossil fuel haters should try doing without all that stuff.
Well,
see how they do.
Yeah, somebody said you might be sitting on a wooden chair in your undies, and it's like you wouldn't even have your undies on because there's elastic in the waistband on that. So,
yeah.
Hey, Rick, we need to go to break. Rick Turnquest is in studio. We're talking about his very important piece, and that is fossil fuels aren't going away in honor of Earth Day. We have these important discussions because of our sponsors like Lavaca Meat Company.
Lavaca Meat Company takes great pride in selling only the best. Lavaca Meat Company is a third-generation family-owned business with its roots in eastern Colorado. Lavaca means the cow in Spanish. As our name implies, we only sell beef. No poultry, pork, bison, or game. Just premium quality, aged, mouth-watering beef. Our store is located at the corner of Main and Nevada in the historic Coors Building in downtown Littleton. For a steakhouse experience at home, visit us in person or shop online at lavacameat.com. Lavaca Meat Company, only the best. Again, that's lavacameat.com.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Franktown Firearms is well-stocked and ready for you right now. Franktown Firearms is a family-friendly shooting range and gun store, and they're constantly bringing in new inventory of all the ammunition, firearms, and parts that you're looking for. Come down to buy or just to shoot on their spacious, well-ventilated 10-lane, 30-yard range with staff who will help you become the most proficient shooter you can be. You'll have a blast with their multi-level training courses that also include tactical shooting while walking, moving, and shooting from cover. This isn't your average range, and it's not your average inventory. If Franktown doesn't have it, chances are they can find it for you. And for a limited time, KLZ listeners enjoy an exclusive offer. Tell them you heard this spot on KLZ, and they'll give you a free gun rental, class 3 weapons not included, when you rent a lane. So stop in and let them know KLZ sent you. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
Indeed, it is Friday. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Do check out usmcmemorialfoundation.org. They are raising the money for the remodel of the Marine Memorial, doing something very fun, middle part of May, and that is a golf tournament in conjunction with the NFL alumni. And you can get more information about all of that by going to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. Rick Turnquist is in studio. We're talking about his piece that you can find at my website, Fossil Fuels Aren't Going Away in Honor of Earth Day, so well researched. This did come in from, I have the most informed listeners, and this is from Eric. He said, while Rick is tooting the Oklahoma horn, he should keep an eye out on your own Rhino Senator James Lankford, who agreed with Biden's border bill. And he said, Ken Warner is okay. But anyway, any comments on that?
Well, I was disappointed in Senator Lankford for his stance on that. And he got a lot of heat from the conservatives I know in Oklahoma. So
that's good.
Yeah, he definitely got a lot of heat for that.
Okay. So thank you, Eric. Let's continue on. What's the next thing we should talk about?
Well, real quick, producer Joe had a comment that I thought would be interesting, Joe.
Absolutely. I was actually mentioning in the break that within the 15 years that I lived there, I probably hadn't seen
in Oklahoma
anybody on that rail system in Oklahoma City. And also I was mentioning that CityLink in Edmond is just a monstrosity of a bus system in itself as well.
So
there you go.
Yep. It's just not just me who says this stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah.
Joe. So when it comes to industrial uses, the left, as far as I can tell, they don't have any proposed replacements for industrial energy uses. It just doesn't exist to them, I guess.
You know, one thing, when you said feedstocks on this, and that is raw materials to make products such as plastic and chemicals.
And fertilizers.
And in our documentary, A Climate Conversation, one of the things, I think, hopefully, or it might have been one of the podcasts that we're doing at aclimateconversation.com, is that wind and solar, there's no byproducts to build or do anything.
Yeah. Well, it requires fossil fuels to build the things, to build solar panels. And let's talk about wind turbines, A, they're ugly. When I talked about Medicine Park, there's a bunch of wind turbines around there. You can go up to the top of Mount Scott, which there is a mountain in Oklahoma, and you can go to the top of Mount Scott. Great view, except for those ugly monstrosities, half of which aren't even turning. Then solar panels require rare earths, toxic chemicals, all that kind of stuff, which themselves come from fossil fuels. So it's a childish fantasy. It really is.
It's all about control.
So next is residential uses. And on our beautiful planet, and yes, it is Earth Day, as I wrote about 2 years ago, I think it's a great idea. It's sad that it's been hijacked by the left. But Earth as a planet is uniquely positioned in space to be not too hot or not too cold to support human life. However, at any given place, at any given time, like this morning here in Aurora, Colorado, it may require heat or cooling for the interior environment of a space to be comfortable for humans. And so it should be no surprise that over half the energy that U.S. households consume is for space heating and air conditioning. And the residential sector accounts for 16% of our energy consumption. And when you look at this graph in here, I love it because there's a little green bar that kind of grows across the middle. It goes up and down, but it's a really, really, really small part of the overall total. And that's what comes from so-called renewable energy. So there's just no viable alternatives there except more electricity, I guess. So they're, according to their fantasy, they want to take away natural gas, heating oil, kerosene, propane, and rely on electric heat or burning wood to heat your home, which would increase demand on an electrical grid already at the breaking point. And I've never been in a house that's been heated by electricity. I've seen electric-type radiators before, but they were not – they didn't work very good and didn't heat the house very well. And let's face it, they'd rather have us shivering in the dark, burning wood and open stoves like our ancestors did throughout history.
Yeah, and actually burning wood does put some pollution into the air as well.
Oh, yeah, it's more polluting than coal.
Yeah.
And so it's not a clean burning source of energy at all. The remaining sector that is 13%, and that's commercial uses, and that's mostly electricity. Which is a great segue to the next topic I talk about, which is electricity. And most of the U.S. and world electricity generation is from electric power plants. They use a turbine to drive electricity generators. And I found a great chart here. And this chart shows that most of our electricity that we use, it comes from sources other than so-called renewable energy. So there's a steam turbines are powered mostly by fossil fuels and coal. Biomass only accounts for 2% of the total. And of the overall total for electricity, wind and solar account for about 13%. Well, according to those, 16% on this graph. A graph I looked at a few years ago, it was 13%. Before that, was 11%. Before that, was 4%. So it's growing, but it's still a very small part.
But
of
all
the
subsidies. Oh my gosh.
The debt that
we take on because of it.
It's subsidized. It's not based on free market economics. And it's a small part, but it's a problematic part because it... As they learned in Austin, Texas, in February of 2021, when Winter Storm Uri hit, when the sun doesn't shine and the snow covers the solar panels and the wind's not blowing, you don't have any power generated. And when the things freeze and the natural gas pipes freeze, so you don't have even your baseload capacity, you don't have any power, and you're out of power for
several days. People
died. People died. Mm-hmm. And people were burning their furniture in their living rooms for heat. So,
unbelievable.
So it's a real thing. But they want to drive our electric grid towards disaster. They're driving our electrical grid towards disaster. And I just want to quote real quick from an editorial in the Wall Street Journal. They're talking about grid regulators and utilities are ramping up warnings. Projections for U.S. electricity demand growth over the next 5 years have doubled from a year ago. The major culprits are new artificial intelligence data centers, federally subsidized manufacturing plants, and government-driven electric vehicle transition. And there's one operator in the Northeast. It operates wholesale power across 13 Midwest and Northeast states. It's doubled its 15-year annual forecast for demand growth for the region, about twice as much as New York City uses on a typical day. But don't expect that power to come from New York, which is marching toward a power shortage as it shuts down nuclear and fossil fuel power in favor of wind and solar. And Kim, rolling blackouts in Democrat-run states are common, and they're bad. They can cost lives. I know we had a blackout here in Colorado recently when Xcel shut down.
Right.
When Xcel shut down the grid because of high winds,
yeah.
Which they must have stolen those winds from Oklahoma. I don't know.
Don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Huh? So, well, Rick Turnquist, great to have you in studio. And the piece is at my website, Fossil Fuels Aren't Going Away, in honor of Earth Day. These are so well researched and really highly recommend that people check them out.
Thank you, Kim. It's great to be here.
And great to have you in person. Okay, our quote for the end of the show is Jimmy Doolittle. He said, if we should have to fight, we should be prepared to do so from the neck up instead of from the neck down. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you. God bless America. Stay tuned for hour number two. This great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. I did want to say thank you to the National Shooting Sports Foundation for their gold sponsorship of the show. They have represent the nation's manufacturers, retailers, and distributors of firearms, optics, ammunition, and other related sporting goods and media. And they're known for their annual SHOT Show. It's their shooting, hunting, outdoor trade show in Las Vegas. That's normally at the beginning of the year. Let's see. Let's jump into several different things. Our word of the day, I was kind of struggling with that a little bit, but it's calumny. And that is a false statement maliciously made to injure another's reputation. Number two, it could be the utterance of maliciously false statements or slander. Number three, false accusation of crime, misconduct, or defect, and knowingly or maliciously made or reported. So the calumnies of all of the different accusations towards Donald Trump are, I would say, they are numerous. They are certainly numerous. So let's see. And your challenge is to use that word in a sentence today, and it spells C-A-L-U-M-N-I-E-S. That's the plural, or calumny as a singular is C-A-L-U-M-N-Y. Our quote for the day today, I took this from the Medal of Honor quote book. From the Center for American Values. The Center for American Values is located on the beautiful Riverwalk in Pueblo, Colorado. And they really are focusing on two things. They're non-political, they're non-partisan, but they focus on honoring our Medal of Honor recipients with their portraits of valor, and then also educational programs. They've just created a K-12 online civics program. I'd highly recommend parents and grandparents, teachers, look into that for their children and grandchildren. But from the quote book, this is from Ernest E. West, a United States Army Medal of Honor, born in 1931, died in 2021. He received this for actions he took on 10-12-1952 during the Korean War. And it says, Private First Class West distinguished himself by conspicuous gallantry above and beyond the call of duty in action against the enemy. He voluntarily accompanied a contingent to locate and destroy a reported enemy outpost. Nearing the objective, the patrol was ambushed and suffered numerous casualties. Observing his wounded leader lying in an exposed position, Private First Class West ordered the troops to withdraw, then braved intense fire to reach and assist him. While attempting evacuation, he was attacked by three hostile soldiers employing grenades and small arms fire. Quickly shifting his body to shelter the officer, he killed the assailants with his rifle, then carried the helpless man to safety. He was critically wounded and lost an eye in this action, but courageously returned through withering fire and bursting shells to assist the wounded. While evacuating two comrades, he closed with and killed three more of the foe. Private First Class West's indomitable spirit, consummate valor, and intrepid actions inspired all who observed him to reflect the highest credit on himself and uphold the honored traditions of the military service. And he said this, he said, one visit to a country without freedom makes one realize that freedom is a precious gift worth fighting for. And my friends, that's why we engage in this battle of ideas every day, to shed truth and light on these issues as we look at them through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Our bill of the day is a House Bill 24-1447. Prime sponsors are Representative Lindstedt and Representative Froelich and Senator Faith Winter. It's transit reform, and this is the bill summary. Concerning transit reform and in connection therewith, modifying the duties and composition of the Board of Directors. Now, the Board of Directors is elected. They want to take away really the election of a Board of Directors of RTD, requiring the Department of Transportation to implement a bus driver training program, requiring transit providers to coordinate with metropolitan planning organizations on certain matters, and modifying the allowable use of money transferred to the Department of Transportation in connection with the redevelopment of the Burnham Yard rail property. And Cutts is recommending a no vote on this, and this was our comments. It said, this 41-page bill removes governing from the voters and puts way too much power with Dr. Cog, the Denver Regional Council of Governments, which is a huge bureaucracy that is not elected nor accountable to the people of Colorado. Coloradans value our safe private vehicles over dirty, dangerous trains. There is no fiscal note yet, and use of the safety clause is designed to further strip voters of a say in this boondoggle. So again, that is a vote no on that. Colorado Union of Taxpayers, we would love to have you join us. It's an all-volunteer group, and we've been all volunteers since 1976 watching legislation. You can check out the website. It does have all of the ratings that we've done on all the bills so far. There's over 740 bills that have been proposed. Let me just make sure here. Yes, 740 bills that have been proposed so far here in Colorado. And we don't need another law. As I mentioned in the first hour, excuse me just a second. I just returned yesterday from Washington, D.C., and had accompanied Greg and Lisa Lopez back as they were meeting with a variety of people in Washington, D.C. regarding the special election for CD4, Congressional District 4, which is the seat that is now vacant because Ken Buck stepped down. And so it was 2 days of a lot of meetings. And what was happening on Capitol Hill was pretty remarkable. And that is there potentially might be another vote to have Mike Johnson vacate his seat as Speaker of the House. And I really wish that wasn't, I wish there was not this showdown. Because I, you know, 6 more months until Election Day, I really wish there was not a showdown. But I did want to read this tweet from Russ Vogt from the Center for Renewing America. And I thought this was very poignant. He said this: I cannot understand those who are baffled. The conservatives are entertaining removing Mike Johnson from being speaker in an election year with a small majority. Russ says, I haven't really weighed in because I understand the pros and cons. But those watching from the outside need to understand the magnitude of what Johnson is doing. Funding Ukraine and acting as the third-party payer of that endless war has rightfully become a mini-Brexit for many of us. The neocon foreign policy establishment is determined to keep us in this role of bill payer and imperial leader. We want out yesterday. It's killing and exhausting our country. It's leading to more war internationally. Mike Johnson made commitments not to fund Ukraine without securing the border. I wish he had said regardless, but it was a tangible, reasonable approach. He is now violating that promise because global elites, David Cameron, etc., and ruling class Republicans are in a complete freakout, and guess what? He agrees with them. He is a neocon. That's what is happening. So Mike Johnson is now touching the stove and may light himself on fire. This is after being worse than utter mediocrity when it comes to the spending fights, refusing to use the power of the purse, and flipping his position on reforming FISA after an SCIF brief. I don't know what is going to happen, and if he goes down, I expect a complete meltdown from Con Inc. But Mike Johnson will be responsible for his own demise for choosing to govern against the clear wishes of the vast majority of the grassroots conservatives who are educated on the issues. And it is no longer a survivable place to be any GOP leader, and thank God for it. So I think that pretty well nails it. I wish we were not in this position. But that is what Russ Vogt said from the Center for Renewing America. We talk about these important issues because we have great sponsors. One of those is the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team, and they can create a personalized insurance plan to cover all your needs, from protection for your cars to your home, condo, boat, motorcycle, business, and renter's coverage. Contact the Roger Mangan Team now at 303-795-8855 for a complimentary appointment. Like a good neighbor, Roger Mangan's team is there.
Rosie's doing it. So is Yvonne. Same with Lori. Michelle's been at it since February of last year. Jody started the year before that. And guess what? They're all saving by doing so. What's that? Oh, the doing part? They're using the Drive Safe and Save app from State Farm. Then they're saving up to 30% and more on their auto insurance. How about you? Are you ready to get at it and save? Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855. Don't delay. Call Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance at 303-795-8855 today.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of the Kim Munson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
It's Friday! It is Friday, and welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. I'm pleased to have in studio with me, you know him, cattleman Jim May with Lavaca Meat Company. Jim, it's great to have you here.
Well, it's great to be back in the studio again. I usually come up here and enjoy that beautiful view of the mountains. We're on the 12th floor up here, and And but today it's all cloudy, and we really need the rain. Not complaining a bit. Shout out this morning to my man McLean down. He was down at the office working hard already this morning, and I told him I'd say hi on the radio.
Oh, that's super awesome. Well, yes, I've had quite a week. Returned from Washington D.C. yesterday, and I have in my freezer. I said, I hope I have one more of those Lavaca fillets, and I did. All right. And so it was great after just a wild week to just sit down and have one of my most favorite meals of all time, and that is potato, salad, asparagus, and a Lavaca fillet.
Yeah, I came from the office this morning, as I said, and we are featuring right now that tomahawk ribeye. I saw there's still quite a few left, and he's got them at a pretty good price. Now, this is maybe our family's favorite cut of meat. It's got the long bone.
Right.
It's the ribeye steak. We put, you know, these things are about anywhere from 2 to maybe up as big as 4-pound steaks. Big, thick, something for a family of four can really get into it. I mean, we've got... I think maybe Scott down in the office can take down one of those 2-pounders. But this is a really fun piece of meat to barbecue with a crowd, or, you know, to throw a couple of those on the grill is just awesome. So
and it can typically feed more than one person.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. You know, a good steak for one person, 12 to 16 ounces or something like that, or even for gals, 3 to 4, 6, 8, whatever. Mm-hmm. But. Yeah, this is a man's steak, but what we do is our family will have, you know, maybe my kids or grandkids over, and then we would do throw one or two of those on, and everybody gets it's just a marvelous piece of meat. The closer you get to the bone, it seems like the better it gets.
And, I'm gonna have to try that.
Yeah, you might have to. By the way, you and I met in Castle Rock a long time ago,
right.
And the Kentucky Derby party is coming up. So I was just thinking about you this morning. It's coming up a week from tomorrow, running of the Kentucky Derby. And I decided, since we're doing everything here, and we have many, many times featured our meat there down there at the party.
Yes.
They'll usually have, 6 or 8 couples. And what we do is we buy a real long tenderloin. And Kelvin, shout out to Kelvin and Sarah put this party on, but so he cuts his own steaks there. And so you've got to, and what he is so good at, and I don't think I could do this, but he gets little toothpicks, medium rare,
right.
Well done, and he just seems to get them all right. Like maybe there might be 16 or 20 steaks here, and somehow he gets that deal done, and I've yet to have anything I didn't, well, of course, I mean, that was cooked wrong. I've never heard anybody, but it was just right. And then you can also, with that kind of a loin, if somebody wants a smaller portion, you can cut a little thinner.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a fun deal. That's coming up. The mint juleps and the gals wearing the hats, and it's going to be it's going to be a really fun afternoon. We sing My Old Kentucky Home, and it's my kind of like, man, that's kind of the start of the summer for me as far as, you know, kicking it off. So we're looking forward to that. I am going to do a poem, and I've got, since I'm in studio, I've got quite a bit of time, and I guess, do you want me to kick it off?
Yeah, let's do it.
I want to talk a minute about this one. This poem, I've written poems for, as you know, I think this is my 10th show now. So you've got a couple of birthday poems, like for my brother. I've written stuff for people's birthday. I think we had one on Good Friday for a funeral.
Right.
So they go from being all spectrums of emotions. The hunting season poem, which I wrote for our big hunt out there at this. But this particular poem is about the Thunderbolt Ranch. And I have one of my poetry books here. On the front cover of this book is a picture of our feedlot up there in the sand hills of Nebraska. And I just, this guy, this was a tribute to him, W.C. Foxley, this poem was. One of the probably legends in cattle feeding. And he's one of those guys that helped us a bunch. And we were very fortunate to live in the right country and have freedom to do what we wanted to do. We were willing to take risks. But this guy, without him, I'm sure we wouldn't be where we are. And he was a very smart, he was one of the youngest Marine officers in the Marine Corps. And he came out, and on a ship, he looked at the maritime tables and looked at the sunlight in certain places and built these sheds. The good thing about this particular business is it's in the middle of, in a 100-mile radius of a billion bushel of corn. So it rains there all the time. It's the heart of the Ogallala Aquifer. A very wet country, which produces cheap grain for us, but the weather can get pretty tough.
Yeah, it can.
And he took this concept on, was the innovator, and he put these cattle in barns. And so he was in the heart of with the big yard of all these barns, and it's been a profit center for us, you know, ever since we've had it. It's just a tribute to somebody that had really a lot of foresight. He was one of the first people to put steam flakers outside of Arizona or someplace where they didn't freeze. He went in there and built those and did that. So he's been an innovator. I have so much respect for him, and this poem is a tribute to him.
Okay.
And if we've got time, I am going to go ahead, too, and read the little, in the book I have these kind of setups for the poem. The first time I saw the Herdco feedlot, I looked at my brother Dan, and he said, "What do you think?" We had the same first perception. I just need to go somewhere and sit down and think about what I just looked at. Before this was developed, the thousands of acres of rolling sand hills was known as the Thunderbolt Ranch. We were small town rural kids, and we knew how fast rumors start and travel in small town America. Sometimes when we were growing up, if we were bored, we would just start our own rumor just to see what happened. This poem is my version of what the coffee shop in Bartlett or O'Neill must have sounded like when they found out that W.C. Foxley was going to build a 60,000-head feedlot in the middle of the 20,000-acre hellhole known as Thunderbolt Ranch. Do I have time?
You go. Wait? Let's do it.
So we set this up. We said we had a cliffhanger, and here goes. I don't need to look at that book anymore. The natives all said, "You take a hell of a chance if you try to feed cattle on the Thunderbolt Ranch. God knows there's a mountain of corn to be had, but the weather up there can get pretty bad. Because when the rain and the snow turns them sand hills to jelly, those cattle will sink in clear up to their belly. And coming into year end, the ice gets really chunky, and if you haven't done it by then, you better bring in your brass monkey." One old feller said, "Son, better heed this warning and take it to heart. The Nebraska weather will kick your ass so hard you'll have to clear your throat to fart." But Foxley had a vision. He would not be denied. He said, "I won't fight the weather. I'll put them inside." And they started building the barns. And after the first three or four, he flew over one day and said, "Let's build a dozen more." And now there's 15 sheds there, a half a mile long, and a legacy that proves that all those people were wrong. Because if you want to feed cattle today, I'd say your best chance is to ship them up there to the Thunderbolt Ranch. Jim May original, right?
Oh, Jim, that's awesome. And, you know, I do want to address that beef is a dense protein source. And I'm seeing this this assault on beef. And we really need to reclaim that narrative. I remember those ads, "Beef, it's what's for dinner." Yeah. We need to reclaim that narrative because, as I said, I've done a tremendous amount of traveling this week and coming home and just having that dense protein source. Here I am, ready to go this morning. And so I think it's important that people realize that.
Absolutely. You know, there were signs up and down the road, and what you're talking about was actually put on by the they call it the checkoff, the beef checkoff. And we would all always donate $1 a head for advertising. And for some reason, that thing has seemed to die down. We had that Sam Elliott commercial.
Oh, I love beef. It.
Beef, it's
yeah.
What's for dinner
right.
tonight, right?
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. I thought they were really good. There's still some signs around that say, you know, somehow nothing satisfies like beef.
Yeah.
And that's really kind of true. You know, I enjoy all kinds of food, but when I really need a hearty one. I mean, there's nothing like I said, like that Saturday night barbecued steak and how good you. I think it's good for your body. I think it makes you feel good. There's lots of antioxidants there. There's minerals and vitamins and you know, you put a baked potato with it and some mm-hmm. green beans and a salad or something mm-hmm. like that. Man, that's a meal. I know there is an assault on the. I think there's an assault on. You know, you've got PETA. You've got the people the mm-hmm. for the protection of animals and God. You know, I mean. I'd say this. There's nobody that has more respect or love for animals than the people that are out there
working
with
them
all the time.
Right? I know.
And if you could see, like my son, was in 4-H, and you want to see a kid that is selling his steer at the county fair, and he's over there, and he's
crying.
14 years old, and tears running down his face. You know, he'd spent so much time in the wash barn and doing that stuff. I spent some time this week up at our feedlot in Wiggins, which we own with the Gables. And this family, this is pretty amazing. This family, Steve is the patriarch of that thing, but Case is a kid that's worked for us for, gosh, I guess 12 years or something like that. He's very, very good. We had a meeting with Case, but that family, Case won the grand champion at the Colorado State Fair. And a year or two later, his sister won the grand champion at the Colorado State Fair again, which that's a phenomenal thing in and of itself. Now, Case's two kids have duplicated that.
Wow.
And so these people really understand cattle and what to look for in picking one out and you know, how to show one. And that's a lot of work. But you know, I just wish people that never get their feet off of concrete and asphalt are putting down people in our industry for not being kind enough to animals. And nothing could be further from the truth,
I know,
in my opinion. And so I guess it's like a lot of the things on this show that I hear about, and you just kind of, oh, gosh, now we've got Iran involved in the war. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so many things going on, but there's so many good things about America. Somebody like Bill Foxley able to have a vision, and like these barns, for instance, they all face the south. On December 22nd, the sun reaches the very back of those barns to keep everybody warm, and then on June 21st, there's total shade in the barns. That's a country that's hot.
Isn't that fascinating?
And sometimes people look at that. Well, gosh, now you got your cattle inside, or you've got, you know, they're ready to throw rocks at stuff like this. And I remember this, listening to some other, you know, I listened to all kinds of stuff on the radio. I listened to one of these PETA people say, oh, these cattle are lying in their own excrement, you know, in their own excrement. Well, so cattle, we actually push the mounds up, and it's a source of warmth in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. We mound them, and there's some heat that comes off that. And cattle are, you know, they think we're forced into some kind of bad conditions here. They're herd animals. They like being together.
Mm-hmm.
We have, in our operation, we have thousands of acres out behind our feedlot. And a lot of the time, almost all the time, the cattle can wander out onto hundreds of acres of wheat pasture, corn stalks, et cetera. And they can also come back in the pen to drink. And when they're eating real good, we don't need to feed them a lot. But you know what? I come by there at night, and almost every calf is back in that pen, laying out with it. So, people that don't understand cattle always think that, you know, they know more about those things than we do, and unfortunately, that's.
It's kind of like the state legislature. People that don't understand business,
exactly.
You know, they think, you know, all these different rules and regulations. But to your point, and that's one of the things, because I grew up in Western Kansas, is I want to continue to talk about the people that feed and fuel us. And that is the people of rural Colorado, rural America. And did want to mention, though, this new thing two things. First of all, April 25th, there's something fun that's happening in Burlington, right?
No, it's not April 25th. I think it's May. Ooh, I didn't bring it with me. I'm pretty sure it's May 10th.
May 10th, okay.
Yeah, it's May 10th at 7 o'clock at the Burlington Auditorium. This is my friend Gary McMahon. Is that what you're talking
mm-hmm.
about? Yeah, this is a real cowboy poet. I'm a guy that probably spends too much time going down the road and not enough to keep my brain occupied all the time, so I kick around with this stuff. And but this guy's been doing it all his life. He's a world champion yodeler. I know that you may chuckle at that, but he works the humor into this music with a guitar. And he's written songs for legends in our industry, like people like Chris Ledoux. He's wrote songs for Garth Brooks. And I know Garth had paid him some royalties on just some of the little poem I told, mm-hmm. I think last week, the short one. Mm-hmm. That was by him. I wouldn't say he's a good friend, but I've had him at a couple of things. We had him down in our town in Burlington before. The DJ on the radio just fell in love with him. We played his stuff there on that little local radio station, and his songs and his poetry. But he's a good man. He's big out there at Elko. He's a Baxter Black type. Probably done a lot of we took him up to the Sea Lazy U Ranch up here in the mountains for the YPO, the Rocky Mountain YPO organization, young president's organization. A lot of millionaires and billionaires in that thing, and you know, at that dude ranch, he did a fantastic job, and he's just a good friend. If you are out there on the plains, and you can, I know this radio station goes out there because I listen to it all the time now. But yeah, look for Gary. The proceeds, 100%. This is the kind of guy he is. 100% of the proceeds are going to Pink Chaps, which is our Western charity for cancer. You know, and as I told you, I've battled that thing with my daughter for a while, and I am so happy for those that give to that, and we felt their love and prayers as we were going through that. Unfortunately, we lost my daughter, but there's a couple other people out there that are got the same thing, and I just you know, that's a great place to give. Our for some reason our young people are getting this earlier and different things, but when you're in need and you're hurting, the last thing you want to think about is the motel I have to have at the hospital or something, and this organization will help to fund that. So Shout out to them. Shout out to Gary McMahon in Burlington, May 10th, I think.
Okay, we'll make sure we'll have it next week for everyone on that.
Maybe put it on the newsletter or something.
Okay, we'll definitely do that. And again, more information regarding Lavaca Meat Company, go to lavacameat.com. They are located on the corner of Maine and Nevada in Littleton, Colorado. Jim May, great to have you in studio. Thanks for being here.
It's super to be here. And this is my 10th, I think my 10th show, and I look forward to coming up here to the studio. I'm a busy guy, but, you know, this is kind of neat. So
it's great to have you here. So thank you, and thank you to Lavaca Meat Company. It's great to have you as sponsors. Another great sponsor is Lauren Levy.
If you are 62 or older, a reverse mortgage could be a great tool regarding retirement and estate planning. It is essential to understand the process. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group has nearly 20 years in the mortgage industry and has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren understands that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage, remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. Licensed in 49 states, Kim Monson highly recommends Lauren Levy for all your mortgage needs. Call Lauren at 303-880-8881.
There are always opportunities in changing markets, and the metro real estate market is no exception. That is why you need to work with seasoned RE/MAX Alliance realtor Karen Levine when you buy your home, sell your home, consider the opportunities of a new build, or explore investment properties. Rising interest rates are spurring creativity, innovation, and opportunity in the real estate and mortgage markets. Kim Munson highly recommends award-winning RE/MAX realtor Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate questions. That's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
It's finally Friday. It is Friday. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Jansen Photography is located in Lakewood, Colorado. Beautiful property, an old farmstead. It's springtime, and they have all these different backdrops for making memories, whether or not it's a portrait of your family, your children, that senior student. And, of course, you need that photo to open up your business or political career. They can help with that. Go to JansenPhotography.com for more information. That's JansenPhotography.com. And on the line with us is Nephi Cole. You know him. He is the government affairs or state affairs, government relations director for the National Shooting Sports Foundation. And my gosh, my friends, the people that want to take away that they're really anti-law abiding citizens having firearms are flooding the zone here in Colorado. Nephi, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kim, thanks for having me this morning.
Absolutely. So I've got a list here of bills, and I know that you just texted over this list of legislators we need to reach out to. What should people know first thing, Nephi?
How much time do you have?
Well, yeah.
I'm just kidding. There's a lot going on. I think the first thing people need to know is that the Colorado legislature has scheduled a proposed ban on firearms in the state of Colorado for about, you know, anywhere from 50% to 80%. It's going to depend on what they consider to be a gun that can be used in a mass shooting. And so they've got some language there, but that, of course, that bill is Colorado's House Bill 1292. That has been scheduled for a second committee hearing. So this would be the final committee hearing in the Senate. And that's in Senate Veterans and State Affairs. Did I get that name right? State Veterans and Military Affairs is the committee. That's really strange. It's strange because when they brought this bill through the House, they brought this bill through the Judiciary Committee. That's the committee it should actually go through. Sending it through State Veterans and Military Affairs probably means one thing. That probably means that they didn't think that they had the votes to move this through the Judiciary Committee, through the standard protocols. And so instead, they moved it over to a committee that they thought they could get a more favorable vote in. And so it's pretty problematic. That bill is a bill that will outlaw the sale of all semi-automatic rifles in the state of Colorado. So semi-automatic center fire rifles, and here's why it does that. They're framing this up as a you know, they don't want to say assault weapons ban, and they don't want to say that because that term, everybody knows that term now, and so they're calling it a ban to prohibit certain firearms used in mass shootings. Well, it includes any modern center fire semi-automatic rifle that can be that either is or could be modified to be what they consider a quote-unquote assault weapon. And so what does that mean? That means it's any gun that you could, if you can put a pistol grip on it, or if you could put a threaded barrel on it, or if you could add a flash suppressor to it, or if you could put a handle down there, you know, on for your left hand to hold on to, if you have the potential to do that, this bill loops in all of those rifles. That's all right. That's all semi-automatic rifles. It's more rifles exist in that class than any other class of rifles. So you've got a huge set percentage of rifles. The other thing that this bill does is this bill also loops in shotguns that are semi-automatic and also pump shotguns. So people didn't pick up on this. They think this is a certain type of shotgun. But the language in this bill is inclusive. It says firearms like this or firearms with similar capacity, with similar ability. So what you're really getting is you're not just getting, you know, they name a few guns in there. They call, you know, an AK this or, and a, you know, this type of shotgun, a street something. But these shotguns, when they include that language, includes or others that meet similar capacities, suddenly it's everything. Because what gun can't I potentially say, well, yeah, that's not an AR, but it operates basically the same as an AR. It does the same thing an AR would do. It uses the same bullet. It uses, you know, so suddenly this bill now allows you to potentially ban the sale of those. With handguns, of course, any handgun that's capable of accepting a quote-unquote higher capacity magazine. So a semi-automatic handgun, even if in Colorado, it's mandated that they're sold with less than a 15-round magazine capacity. What happens when you open the door to guns that could be used? It's essentially everything's on the table. And so the bill is not written well on purpose. It's written in a way, it's written by extremely left-wing-leaning ideologues, and it's done so that it can potentially scoop in everything. There was no intention to make this a good bill that people could live with. The intention was to make it onerous and vague. And now it's on the verge of becoming law in the state of Colorado.
Would this be the first of its kind in the country?
It'd be the most expansive. So we've had, of course, people pass assault weapons bans. But you've got, you know, you've got rifles, you know, under the California assault weapons ban. You've got a whole list of firearms that you can own there that you couldn't own, you couldn't buy in the state of Colorado. And if you're a Colorado resident, that means you couldn't bring them into the state. Technically, in Colorado, let's say you're like, well, I'm going to buy it someplace else. Well, there'll be a violation of Colorado law. If you're like, well, you're a citizen in Colorado, you're going to go to get it someplace else, you're going to be in trouble.
That was my next question. Can you go to another state and buy this firearm and have it so that you can protect yourself and your family?
So the way that the law works is you're responsible. The law that has to be obeyed, that has to be looked at, is the law from the state where you're living in. And so that makes it really tricky for dealers because if they're looking at your driver's license, if you've got a Colorado driver's license, you're out of luck.
Wow. So let's talk a little bit about political strategy. This has gone through the House committee. It's over in the Senate. You said Veterans and State Affairs, I think it is. And you said that it should have gone through judiciary, but they didn't think that they might have the votes on it. So if this gets to the governor's desk, he can do three things with a bill. He can sign it, he can veto it, or he can let it sit there without a signature, and after a certain period of time, it can become law. This does not bode well for, I have this in air quotes, Mr. Libertarian Polis. And so even if he just let it sit there and become law, I mean, he really needs to veto this if it gets that far, Nephi.
The real question is for the leadership in Colorado. It's for the, you know, we're seeing an example now. This is it. If you want to see if you can trust Democratic leadership, this is your test. Because what you're seeing now is a bill that's clearly, very clearly unconstitutional. It's very clearly targeting firearms that are in common use for lawful purposes. These are not strange guns. These are not firearms that people don't have. This is, again, it's a minimum 50% of the market, and maybe as much as 80, depending on who reads it and how. And so the question is going to be, people know what the reality of it. So now the question becomes this: you know, if people are saying you can trust us, yeah, you can put us in government. This is a wake up call, and it's a referendum on ability to lead and whether people can be trusted to protect not just the viewpoints of the ultra progressives who brought the bill, but whether you can be trusted to take care of middle America, to take care of the average Joe, the average person. Because if your party has been hijacked by the craziest, and you insist on allowing the craziest among us, you insist on allowing them to set the rules, what does that say for everyone? What does that say for the average person? You cannot do it. This is a huge problem in American politics. It cannot be the squeakiest, craziest, loudest voice in the wing throwing tomatoes at everyone else that you allow to make the rules that everyone has to live under. This is about pragmatism. It's about seeing if we can all live together in, you know, this is it. This is the promise we all made to be able to live together and work together as a country. You see, these types of bills are testing that.
Well, and meanwhile, back at the ranch, Nephi, I just got back from Washington, D.C., and so was looking at Colorado headlines, and Mike Johnston, the mayor of Denver, you know, Denver's been a sanctuary city, and per capita, we have the most illegal aliens in the country here, and they're turning them out on the streets. This is making people desperate. And so he's cutting in order to fund for illegal immigrants or illegal aliens, he's going to cut a number of different departments, but among them, police and fire. So here you've got, you know, bringing in people that have broken the law to come into our country and calling them now newcomers and giving them all kinds of government services while taking from everyday hardworking people. And then also taking away the right, or attempting to take away the right for people to protect themselves, their families, and their properties. This is antithetical to the American founding.
It's really fairly shocking, and it follows again this trend of blaming the wrong people for the problem. This is blaming, you're blaming law-abiding Americans. You're blaming the people who are following the rules. You're seeing problems, and you're having this general decline, and you're going to blame the people who follow the rules, and you're going to lift up the people who are breaking them, and you're going to make those. That's your constituency. It's the rule breakers. It's the people who don't care. It's the people who are not doing the right thing. It's shocking, and it's something that you have to call it out. The tough part is you have to call it out respectfully, and I don't know how. I mean, and I say that just because we're in a situation where people are so frightened and fed up with this that they want to shout about it. They want to shout at their legislators about it. And the problem is that doesn't work either. If you shout at them, then they just, if you curse at somebody, then they do the thing you don't want them to do.
Right.
It's very difficult because it requires patience and it requires a dialogue. And if you do that, if you spend that time and effort doing that, yeah, you can make a difference, but it is hard.
It is.
You have to do it.
It is. And so, Nephi, let's go to break. I'm talking with Nephi Cole. He is the State Director of Government Affairs for the National Shooting Sports Foundation, and I do thank you for your goal sponsorship of the show. I want to address this thing that you just mentioned, and that is patience and the narrative out there. And we have these important discussions because of our great sponsors, and one of those is Boson Law.
Boson Law is a local law firm dedicated to helping injured individuals in Denver and the surrounding areas fight for the justice they deserve. Boson Law focuses on personalized representation tailored to your unique situation, with one-on-one attention and counsel and consistent communication. Boson Law personal injury attorneys have extensive trial experience and have successfully represented clients against the interests of powerful corporations, manufacturers, insurance companies, and government agencies. Contact Boson Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary in-person consultation. Again, that number is 303-999-9999. Call now at 303-999-9999.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love the Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields, so they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
Franktown Firearms is well-stocked and ready for you right now. Franktown Firearms is a family-friendly shooting range and gun store, and they're constantly bringing in new inventory of all the ammunition, firearms, and parts that you're looking for. Come down to buy or just to shoot on their spacious, well-ventilated 10-lane, 30-yard range with staff who will help you become the most proficient shooter you can be. You'll have a blast with their multi-level training courses that also include tactical shooting while walking, moving, and shooting from cover. This isn't your average range, and it's not your average inventory. If Franktown doesn't have it, chances are they can find it for you. And for a limited time, KLZ listeners enjoy an exclusive offer. Tell them you heard this spot on KLZ, and they'll give you a free gun rental, Class 3 weapons not included, when you rent a lane. So stop in and let them know KLZ sent you. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
It's Friday.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Nephi Cole is on the line. He is the State Affairs Government Relations Director for the National Shooting Sports Foundation. Nephi, you sent over this list of legislators and their emails. And so what would you like people to do with this? We will get this into our show summary.
Please share it. These are folks who need to hear from you, and they need to hear that this is a gun ban. This is not an assault weapons ban. It's prohibiting the title of the bill, HB 1292, prohibiting certain weapons used in mass shootings ought to just be called prohibiting all guns that can be used in crime. And that's because that's what they're trying. That's what this potentially is. And the issue here is this. These are the names of people who have not made up their minds. These are the names of senators who potentially, I say haven't made up their minds, but they haven't made public statements saying that they're going to support this bill. These are people who, if they hear from you, might do the right thing. So they need to hear from you. And okay. Hearing from you is this. They can't hear from you in an angry way. If you yell, if it's an ugly email, they're not,
it's not going to be effective.
Pushes them the wrong direction.
Right.
It's got to come from a personal email address. It has to come from a real person, and they need to hear from you because, that is what, if this gets out of this committee, and I fully expect it to get out of this committee, this is the last, your governor is the last, he's the one that has to decide whether everybody's, lost their minds in that building. But, this is an opportunity for you to remind them that there's real people in Colorado and that these things affect real people and to tell them that they affect you.
Okay, and we will get that into the summary. Nephi Cole with the National Shooting Sports Foundation, thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
And that list very quickly, and we'll have that in the summary, is Lisa Cutter, Stephen Finberg, James Coleman, Robert Rodriguez, Senator, not quite sure on that one, Kevin Priola, Dylan Roberts, Nick Hendrickson, Joanne Janal, Tony Exum, Jesse Danielson, and Faith Winter. Jim May, I know you need to run here, but you did want to make a quick shout-out to your brother.
Yeah, I do. In previous shows, we've talked a little about my brother,
Dan, who is the poem today was for Bill Foxley, who went into the Hall of Fame, the Cattle Feeders Hall of Fame. It's kind of a big deal for us. And Dan introduced him. And, man, he gave a really great speech to introduce him. And Foxley's speech was a memorable thing we'll never forget, those of us that are around it. Please vote for Dan. You go in the website, Cattle Feeders Hall of Fame, just Google it, jump on there. I guess there must be a little bit of this stupid voting going on in everything we do, but there you can vote. A lot.
You can vote multiple times,
and it's. I really don't like that. I think, and it seemed like it used to be we just voted one time and that was it. But so maybe this the Democratic policies are sneaking into my. I don't know what's
at
going
least,
on.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
Get on there, vote for him. We want him in there. I look forward to his speech that he's going to make at that deal. So
okay.
Anyway,
Jim
that's
May.
All I got. I got to run.
Thank you. We'll talk to you next
week.
Thanks,
Jim. You bet.
And then there's something very important. Lots of important things happening down at the State House. On the line with me is Representative Ken DeGraff. Representative DeGraff, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Thank you.
And you're going to be running a House resolution that is very important. Tell us about that.
The House resolution is about parental rights, and I think it's got some really good language in it about delineating the responsibilities that parents have. Parents have a responsibility for making decisions for kids and then really training them up in the way that they should go and making a path for them. The Democrats have a more of an institutional viewpoint that they want the institution of the state to mold their brains. And of course, we've seen so many of the statist type institutions and how bad they are for kids in general, in all ways, and sometimes quite predatory. So when you have representatives like Steph Vio wanting, you know, the state to make decisions for children, I think you're in a very dangerous place.
So this House resolution, what's the number?
You know, I was thinking so many bills this morning, I have spaced the number.
You can just text it.
I'll have to send it to you.
Yeah, text to me. We'll put it into the summary. And so is this being heard today, or what's the process?
Monday.
Okay. And you would like people to weigh in on this?
Yes, absolutely. Call in, and I'll, you know, I'd like to reiterate, I missed his name, but, you know, it's good to call in. It's good to talk about. This is where, you know, the representatives on the committee are, you know, at least going to hear some level of truth from the voters. If people just call in angrily, then, you know, they'll probably be tuned out. So make a good appeal to reason. Emails and such, they tend to just get lost in the thousands and thousands of emails that come in, especially when they're from a spam source. So yes, absolutely, and we'll get the information to you to call in and make those points, because it's critical that parents are the voice of the children, and represent the children. They have their best interest. Now, you know, there are bad parents, and that's going to happen, and that's unfortunate. But those are single situations. When an institution is put in charge of mass groups of children and mass, centralized control always centralizes corruption, and that is devastating. And I think we've seen that historically. I know we've seen it historically.
Well, and you mentioned that, yes, there are bad parents out there. That is the outlier. Most all parents love their children dearly, and they should be in charge of their children, not the state. That does not work out well when the state is in charge of children. So we'll get all that information into the summary. Representative DeGraff, thank you to you and the Mighty 19, all the work that you're doing there at the House of Representatives. We really do appreciate it.
All right, just heading in for Gun Grab Friday. So more of...
Stay tuned on this, yes. Taking away the right of parents and then taking away the right of people to be able to protect themselves against the bad guys. That's not the way it's supposed to be in America. We're supposed to be stewards of our children, and we're supposed to be able to protect ourselves and our families. And so that is why these bills are so important. So Representative DeGraff, thank you so much. Jimmy Doolittle said this. He said, if we should have to fight, we should be prepared to do so from the neck up instead of from the neck down. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning, further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.